Inside of your bulletin is a sheet that says Ministry of God's Word. If you'll please take that out and stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. Next week, we'll begin a new series. We always have questions to ask God. The series will be Questions That Jesus Asks in the Gospels. Questions that he asks. So that will be starting next week. Reading from Acts 16, starting at verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Father, as we study this passage, I pray that we will desire to follow your path, that we will let go of our own plans and seek your vision and seek your mission for each of our lives. I pray that not only for myself, but for everyone here, as well as a direction, a center point. Bless us, Lord. Build us up. I know that you call us. I know that you have a plan for us. May we be empowered to follow your will and your plan and disregard our own. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In 1980, Terry Fox, who was a Canadian, ran perhaps what might be the longest and most difficult marathon in the history of mankind. He ran 3,339 miles across Canada. That is the distance from New York to Anchorage, Alaska. That in itself is quite a feat, but this is how he did it. Terry Fox himself is a cancer victim and lost his leg to cancer. That's the way he ran those 3,339 miles to raise money for cancer. He raised $24 million. How was he able to do this? He was on mission. He had a plan. He had a vision, and that vision and that mission kept him going through the most excruciating and difficult of times. And this morning, I want to talk about vision and mission. We each have one, you know. We each have one. I want to encourage you to take this sheet out, turn it to the other side, and hopefully you take some notes. Hopefully you take some notes so that later in the week, whether it be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you take a look at these again and get these things in your heart. When Paul started his second missionary journey, he took with him Silas when he started his second missionary journey. And his plan was to preach the gospel in Asia. That was his plan, but it wasn't God's plan. You know what I find so interesting about this? Well, there's a lot of things. But look at this. Here he is. He is a Christian man. He is doing God's work. He's doing God's work. And sometimes we may think, because you're doing God's work, that's good. And it is good. He was doing God's work, but it wasn't God's plan. Paul's plan was to preach the gospel in Asia. That was not God's plan. He started down here in Antioch, Syria, traveled up, and if you're reading scripture, you see that he entered in around Phrygia. I know that it looks like it's Phrygia, but it isn't. It's Phrygia and Galatia. And when he got up here around somewhere, he wanted to enter Asia to go preach the gospel, but we're told the Holy Spirit prevented him. He wanted to go north to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus prevented him from doing that, so he continued west. He started east, tried to go south. It was blocked by the Holy Spirit. Tried to go north, blocked by the Spirit of Jesus, so he continued west. Amazing. I find it amazing anyway. I don't know about you. I find it amazing. And so, what we see, Paul was on mission. He was on mission. Paul also had a vision. His mission and his vision was from God. We can learn two things from these verses that we read here this morning. Two things. One, direction must come from God. Direction must come from God. Vision must come from God. Direction and vision must come from God. You know, it's difficult. We can get into a kind of comfortability with life where things are going okay. You might even have a good job and you might be paying and say, you know what, looking at each other, husband and I, you know what, we're doing okay, aren't we? And everything is going well. The question always is, if we're Christians, the question is, am I in not only God's will, but am I following his direction? Or am I following my own? Vision is finding the direction that God has established for you. And if you're a Christian, you have to believe that God has a plan for your life. If you are a Christian, you have to know that. God has a plan for your life. The difficulty, and I can attest to this, the difficulty is discovering what that plan is. You see, and I've said this so many times, we each have different occupations, but we have the same vocation. The same vocation, that is to serve Jesus Christ in some fashion, in some manner. We have different occupations, but we have the same vocation. That is, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And as we go along in our life, like I said, it's very easy to kind of get in a niche and to be going in a certain way. It's seeing the invisible things of God and making them visible. And it is invisible. The difficulty when you're really searching with all of your heart is making them visible. I can remember, and I've told this a number of times, and I said a couple weeks ago, that when I was dating my wife, she was still in college, I had graduated. She's in Europe, and I'm writing her these letters. I'm looking for God. I can't find him anywhere. One of the scripture verses that kept me going was Jeremiah 29. If you will seek me, you will find me. If you search for me, I will be found of you. That sits on my desk, given to me by one of my children. It's seeing the invisible things of God and making them visible. When I was working in another church, I felt God was calling me to something. I've told you the story how I felt God was calling me to the ministry. But I didn't want to become a pastor. I told you that. Did not want to become a pastor. I wanted to teach in a seminary. And as you know, if you're here, I'm more of a teacher than I am a preacher. I thought, I think I'm built for that. I could not get rest. There was always something. There was always something nagging and pulling at me. Always something nagging and pulling until finally, after a couple of years, while I'm in seminary, I said, okay, I will become a pastor, okay. That didn't mean it would be easy. In fact, what we've done has been the most difficult thing in my life. However, I believe it was his vision. It's a link between what is now and what will be. Vision and mission. It's a link between what is now and what will be. In those years, and I think I've shared with you, to get a master's degree in anything else is 36 credits. To get a master's degree in theology, a minimum of 61 credits to get a master's. As Pastor Stephen knows, as he finished up this past Christmas, that's a long haul. In those times when I was studying, and then when we were planting a church and we were in our home, I still had to work full-time in a secular job and then full-time as a pastor. 7 days a week, 90 to 100 hours every week. I did that for 5 years. What kept me going? I believed in all my heart that God had called me to that. What we have. To me, it was a goal that did not go away. It was a link between what was then and what would be. That goal kept me going, in spite of all how hard it was. Vision from God equals guidance for man. Having a vision from God, do I mean seeing something like this? No. I'm talking about him putting on your heart what he wants for you to do for him, for his kingdom. Here. Vision from God equals ministry, equals guidance for God, for man. Terry Fulham is a pastor. Most people never heard of him. That's what he said about vision. Vision is a product of God working in us. He creates the vision and we receive it. Vision is a product of God working in us, and I believe he's working in every Christian. Of course, the answer is, am I listening? Can I hear him? He creates the vision and we receive it. Vision arises out of our burden to know the will of God. Have you ever felt that burden? I have. I have felt that burden. And it is a burden to know the will of God. At times, still feel that burden as we continue to have more ministries and attempting to move out more for God, that burden to know the will of God. If I am part of the body of Christ, it is not really a matter of where do I want to go, but rather, where does he want to take me? See, it's not a matter of what do I want to do? Where does he want to take me? Where does he want to take me? Second thing we can learn, God has a customized plan for you. God has a customized plan for you. His plan is 100% accurate. Not 50%, not 75%. His plan is 100% accurate. It is 100% error-free. God never makes mistakes. Maybe you're still waiting to find out what his vision and plan is for you, not only in life, but what you will be doing. There's nothing wrong with still waiting. However, you want to be actively searching. And not just, well, I'm waiting, Lord, actively searching. It's customized just for you. No one else. No one else has it. People today should not be looking for the burning bush, because that was for Moses. We should not be looking for a burning bush. Show me the burning bush, Lord. I want to see the burning bush. That was for Moses. That was God's vision for him and his plan for him. No one else has one like it. It's God's plan. It has its origin in God. That's why it can't be wrong. That's why it's perfect. and it's just for you. George Barna, the Christian pollster, who's been around for many, 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 many years, said, God's vision is like a fingerprint. There is no other one exactly like it. No other one exactly like it. Think of all the people who have ever lived in the world, down through history. Millions upon millions upon millions. Ever since man was created, all the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people. Every single one has a different fingerprint. That in itself is a proof of God. That in itself. God's vision is like a fingerprint. There is no other one exactly like it. We all have a purpose. Just think. If we think our lives is about, I get a good job, earn enough money, buy a house, have a good car. If every Christian lived like that, what would happen to the gospel? God has something more for each and every Christian. He does, each and every one. In Genesis 12, God told Abraham to go to the land he would show him. In Nehemiah 2, God told Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem and rebuild a wall. In Judges 6, God told Gideon to save Israel from the Midianites. If you read these passages, you will see that each one did something different for the cause of God. Each one. You know what their contribution to the vision was? You know what their contribution was? Zero. You know, God, that sounds good, but how about if I add this to it? Zero. His contribution, all these people's contribution to the vision they had, zip. God did not care what they thought. He didn't ask their opinion. He told them, and he showed them. But even with that, if we look at Moses, and God calling him to go get the Israelites out, he found every excuse in the world, if you read that. He looked for so many excuses so he wouldn't have to do that. Many, many, many. William Carey planned to go to Polynesia. That was his plan. He ended up in India. David Livingstone, great man of God, tried to go to China. He ended up in Africa for many, 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 many years. Adoniram Judson went to India. He ended up in Burma. Their plan, God's plan. Their plan, God's plan. Do you know that? God's plan for you is bigger than your plan for your life. God's plan for you is bigger than anything you can think of. God has a plan that is so big, it'll knock your socks off. God's plan is better and bigger for you than anything you can think. Usually, the plan that he has for you is bigger in several different ways because it's more than you're able to do on your own. If you're able to do it on your own, you're doing it. If it's bigger than you, you need God. That's true. That's true. God's plan for you is bigger and your plan for your life. Chuck Swindoll, great man of God. I'm glad we still have him around. So many of the great ones have gone to glory. So many good ones over the past couple of years. We need to be raising up more. Chuck Swindoll said this about vision. Vision is the ability to see God's presence, to perceive God's power, to focus on God's plan in spite of obstacles. There will always be obstacles. Vision is the ability to see above and beyond the majority. Vision is reading the presence and power of God into our circumstances. He goes on to say, I sometimes think of vision as looking at life through the lens of God's eyes. I like that. I sometimes think of vision as looking at life through the lenses of God's eyes, seeing situations as he sees them. Too often, we see things not as they are, but as we are. Vision has to do with looking at life with a divine perspective. Vision has to do with looking at life through the eyes and lenses of God. How do we do that? I don't know. Staying at it. Staying at it, making that. What is my purpose? Seeking that. Seeking that with all of your heart. Nose to the grindstone. Still doing the work around. You have to live. You have to work. You have to do. You have to work. You have to earn money. But staying at that. What is my purpose for you, Lord? What's my purpose for you? Why am I really here for you? Well, closed doors can be good. So often we may think that, well, this way is blocked. But isn't that what happened with Paul? That's what happened with Paul. We see that he tried to go to the south. He tried to go to the north. He came from the east. So he headed west. Those doors were closed. God closed them. Two things concerning closed doors. First, sometimes God blocks our plans. Just like he did with Paul. He blocks our plans because there are plans. And not his plans, which is what he did with Paul. God's vision at that point is a signal for change in our lives. And you know the tough part? The tough part is discovering whether it is God's signal to change direction or to keep on going in the same place. There's a tough part, but I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. God's vision is a signal for change in our lives. We must ask ourselves three questions whenever we're really, really searching and we're going to be changing something major in our life. Three questions. One, is the dream God's dream? Or is it mine? When I was deciding whether to become going into the ministry, going to seminary, I wrestled with that for 5 years. You might say I lost 5 years of my life in the way I did. But I wrestled with that, wondering whether that was just me being a teacher or moving in another, still teaching mode, but under that, is that just me? I wrestled with that for 5 years. Is a dream God's dream or is it mine? Second, is the method God's method? Am I going my own way? Is it my method? Third, is the timing God's timing? And that has everything to do with it. We can rush ahead sometimes. We can rush ahead and be like the horse and bolt ahead. Sometimes we can be like the donkey and be stubborn and hold back. Sometimes we're the horse bolting ahead, going ahead of God. Sometimes we're the donkey digging our heels in and not going anywhere, which is what Moses did for a while. When we make our own plans, we often move ahead of God. And again, we look at the example of Moses. That's what he did. If you remember in Exodus chapter 2, he went to look at the Hebrews to see how they were working. And he had a sense that God was pulling and tugging him for something. And he saw the Egyptian beating the Hebrew. And what does he do? He kills the Egyptian. It takes him 40 more years to be retooled. He went about it his own way. He killed that Egyptian. As a result, he had to flee for his life and go live in the wilderness for 40 years. But in that 40 years, God had to retool him and get him ready. I wonder if he would have stayed there how much faster. The thing is, if the heart is right, God doesn't care about the time. We care about time. The lesson we see there, he was 80 years old. It's not about age. So that if you haven't really in your heart, yes, you've done this and you've done, yes, but is this my purpose in life? You can be 80, 80 something, you can be 90. And maybe God, for just a time is like this, makes you and pulls you in the direction. Have you ever taken the wrong path? Sure. We all do at times. Hopefully at times they're minor. But look at this. Look at this. There's that. There is that. Then there's this. And life is like a maze where we have many different directions we can go to. And sometimes we take the wrong path, but because we are stubborn at times, I don't want to admit I took the wrong path. I'm going to keep on going down here and take many with me because I don't want to admit I've gone the wrong way. And of course, what we want to do is, you know, I've been doing this wrong. Instead of going that way to the maze, go the other way. You might bump into a couple more walls, a couple more obstacles. Caution. Caution. Closed doors do not always mean that that's God's no. Closed doors don't always mean that God is saying no. Sometimes we need seasoning. Sometimes we need to be changing. Sometimes we need to be growing. Sometimes God has another plan for us. Again, Adoniram Judson, he labored for 7 years before he had his first convert. Now think of this. You're talking about the 1700s with these men, or with him. There weren't missionary societies, missionary groups. Imagine going to a foreign country, working there for six years and not having one convert. And every day you're working your head off, praying and everything else. I would venture to say most of us, after a couple months, say, oh, this isn't working. I must be doing something wrong. 7 years before I had his first convert. William Carey worked for 7 years before he had his first convert in India. We can't ask God, what do you want me to do today? Although that seems like a logical question. It's a logical question. What do you want me to do today, Lord? What would you have me do? We need to ask, what are you doing today, Lord? What are you doing? What are you doing that I can be a part of? Whatever you're doing today, I want to be there with you. I want to be doing what you're doing. Second, about closed doors, get good counsel. Get good counsel. We're not good at this. We don't like to ask for advice or counsel. We are so individualistic. We don't want anyone to think that we're not the man or woman that we need to be, that we're not the Christian we need to be. We think someone's going to think ill. Again, that's pride. Get good counsel. And we see Paul doing that here. The great Paul. Verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once. Notice they got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That word concluding, sumbibazo, means to bring together, to put together in one's mind. To bring together, to put together in one's mind. And this is what it means. It implies the strategic use of the mind to discuss the matter with wise counsel in order to come to a good conclusion. Did they come up with a vision? No. But he had the vision, and then He talked about it. He talked about it. They concluded it was the right thing to do. Charles Stanley says this. I love what he says. Listen to this. The Lord often shows us a general picture of what we are to do. We need to realize that the Lord doesn't leave us with a giant goal or a great plan. He provides direction for all of the small steps that are necessary for getting to the big goal. Ask the Lord to show you the first step that you need toward the goal. Recognize that it will only be one step. Do what he shows you to do with all your strength, your might, and talent. And then look for the second step that he leads you to take. He explains our vision slowly so that we can take in all of the details of what he desires to accomplish. The unfolding of God's plan for our lives is a process. Do you know? And I'm sure most of you do. I hope all of you know. Do you know what happened as a result of Paul not going his own way, not preaching the gospel in Asia like he wanted, not trying to go up to Bithynia to the north, but going to Troas where he had the vision? Do you know the result of being obedient to the vision? Going into Macedonia, preaching the gospel. Do you know where Macedonia is? It's in Europe. It's in Europe. The gospel came to Europe because Paul was obedient to the vision. If we would have continued on his own, who knows? It eventually would have gotten there, but God's vision took him from staying in Asia to go to Europe to spread the gospel. Amazing. At least it's amazing to me. He was obedient to the vision. He was obedient to the vision. In the book, Men from Earth, Buzz Aldrin writes about the first landing on the moon. As the space shuttle Columbia was hovering above, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin went in this crappy little tin can, looks like, and lunar module, and was heading toward the moon's surface. No one had ever been down there before. And as they started going down, you should see this. Two people in this little tin can. As they headed down toward the moon, a red light started going off on their insides. Then everything went blank on the computer screen. Their fingers started reaching for the abort button, which would take them back up to the Columbia. And a voice from Earth said, "Continue, continue." They started again. Again, red warning lights came on and the screen went black again. And from, again, Earth, the voice came, "Proceed," from Mission Control. "Proceed, continue." One more time this happened, where the red lights went on and the screen went black. And they were wondering, maybe we don't know what's happening. Again, the voice from Mission Control said, "Continue." Later, they found out that the alarms were signaling that there were some data overloads, but there was nothing wrong with their lunar module. They were listening to a voice that was 238 miles away. Even though everything looked bleak, everything looked like it was, hey, this is it, they were listening to a voice that was 238,000 miles away. And then they were able to say, and we all know, "The eagle has landed. The eagle has landed." I don't think I would have ever gotten into that tin can. No, no, no. But let me tell you, and the piggy bank back off of what Charles Stanley says, I've said this before, if you're really searching, and you have to really search for the purpose, The purpose, not earning more money, that's nice. Nice house, that's nice too. But it's not what the purpose is. It's not what it's all about. It's not what it's all about. Don't take this, I'm trying not to. I had a scholarship to Duquesne University. I was on scholarship. I wanted that scholarship from the time I was a little boy. I got that scholarship, had a chance to travel really all over the world, which I did. But in my sophomore year, I said, is this it? This is it. There has to be something more. Even then, I looked back. God was working and drawing me. I said, is this it? There got to be something more than life. What I've learned the hard way and what I've read from people who are searching for their mission and vision. This is what I've read and this is what I've experienced. And every time I've read someone's biography, they say the same thing. What is that one step that God is telling you to do? Of course, you got to make sure it is from God. Take that one step. Don't look for him to show you the whole vista, because he doesn't. He tells you to take this one step, which you go forward, and it may be out there on a ledge. And then you stay there until he tells you to take a second step. That second step may not come for a year. It may not come for 5 years. Paul says, I was obedient to the vision. You don't want to be like the horse. You don't want to be like the donkey. When he tells you to take that second step, then you obey. And you do that. Don't look for him to show you the entire vista, because he will not show you all of that. He gives one at a time. One at a time. That is what he does. Let me read again. It'll make sense to you. The Lord often shows us a general picture, Charles Stanley, of what we are to do. But we need to realize that the Lord doesn't leave us with a giant goal for a great plan. He provides direction for all of the small steps that are necessary for getting to the big goal. Ask the Lord to show you the first step that you need toward the goal. Recognize that it will be only a step. It's only a step. Maybe you're waiting for the whole thing. Every time I've read something concerning it, that's not the way it works. And I've read many. They all describe this. Why does God do that? I don't know. In a way, I do. It's about trust. Do you trust me? God is saying. Take that first step. Stand there till I tell you to move. Do what you're doing until I tell you to move. There will be obstacles. It is hard. It's the hardest thing I ever did. I've shared this before. The friends that I had as pastors, they're no longer in the ministry. I am so glad that I stayed in those hard years, which were in the beginning, and they were hard years. I am blessed. Because of all of you, and I hope you know that I say this, I love you, and you know what? The funny thing is, I think you love me back. God is good all the time. There will be obstacles, but life is like that. The only time we won't have obstacles is when he takes us to be with him forever. I said this, I can remember the first time I said this some years ago. Frank thought, would you rather be in an oasis without God? Or would you rather be in a desert with God? This oasis has beautiful fruit and streams flowing down, and it's the most beautiful thing you could see. Would you rather be in the oasis without God? Or would you rather be in a desert with God? In our humanity, we're thinking, I want that oasis, man. But God's not there. You want to be where he is. That's where we want to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Next week, We will deal with a question that Jesus asked, what do you want? What do you want? Musicians, I hope what was taught this morning not only makes sense, but it gets in your heart, that we're not wandering stars, earning all the money we can. And again, there's nothing wrong with money. Having the house that you want, that's nice stuff. But it's not the main goal. What does Jesus want? How can you serve him here? Will you dismiss us, Pastor Steve?
Dear Father, we just pray that we will daily, daily walk closer to you, Lord. Draw us to you, Lord. Help us to desire to be closer to you. Let it be ever our goal, Lord, to draw closer to you, Lord. We thank you for being with us, Lord. We thank you for the time that we could gather together, Lord. And I ask a blessing on everyone here, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.